Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Yeah, we call Trash Talking Tuesday, but it's like every other day of the week for us. It's Truth Telling Tuesday. Brother!
Woo! I like that.
Good morning and welcome. It is the pumped up Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is getting huge. He's been hitting the gym and the roids, so he is he's getting huge. It is 6:08, time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Look, this is record-breaking territory we're in. Some good, some not so good. You know, Trump was on tour. He was with the new Japanese prime minister. Looked like they got along pretty well. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about record territory for our stock market again. Huge.
Wow.
Last night, 18 innings of baseball, tying a World Series record. Freddie Freeman cracks a solo home run walk-off to finally end that game. So the Dodgers take a 2-1 lead, game four is tonight, 8 o'clock. That is, I told you it's been exciting. Mm-hmm. All right. I couldn't stay up for that, though.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh.
But then there's record-setting stuff that we're not all that crazy about, and that is, I don't want to do the hyperbole thing, but I'm telling you that Jamaica is going to get hit hard.
It's bad.
Real bad. 175-mile-an-hour sustained winds. Sustained. So it's blowing 175 miles an hour. And it's going to do that for a while because it's only moving at 5 miles an hour, which is better than 3.
Yeah.
But 5 miles an hour heading north-northeast now. Yep. And thanks to Radiant Credit Union, a tropical weather update, this thing is absolutely huge and powerful, and it looks like it is going to really, it's going to take a straight-on shot to Jamaica. And this is record-breaking territory going all the way back to 1851, at least.
Wow.
Maybe further, but that's like the very first halfway decent record-keeping they had. So this is the worst thing that Jamaica has probably ever seen. It is going to be, it's hit, really, say a prayer for those folks. Say, you know, for everybody really in the Caribbean. There's already three people have died related to this unbelievable Hurricane Melissa. Man, she is going to whack that hard. Parts of Cuba are going to get hit hard, too, on that southeastern coast. But it'll have let up maybe a little bit by then. But this thing, any minute now, literally, it's making landfall in Jamaica. Mm. So I hope we get some good news. I hope they go, wow, it's surprising how little damage was done and how little loss of life they had. That's what you got to do. You got to hope for that. Government shutdown. We're not in record territory yet. No, we got a ways to go if we're trying to do that. Shutdown day 28. So there you go. Hey, who says he's too old to be the president? Paul Biya wins his re-election.
Yeah.
Cameroon's president. China. Oldest living president. He's 92 years old.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Man, that's some staying power.
Yeah. There's some controversy of whether, everything is on the up and up. with their elections. Of course, you know, when you're the adversary, you're going to make all kinds of statements. But I can't say that I've honestly followed Cameroon politics to any real extent. But, yeah, that's the deal. And he has been in office since 1982. And since 70% of Cameroon's population is under 35, most of the country can't even remember a time when he was not in power.
Wow, that'd be crazy.
The Associated Press noted that the election on October 12th displayed growing tensions between Africa's youth and its many aging leaders. You know, yeah, the young people of Cameroon are not pleased when Baia announced he would run again, and even less pleased by the heavy-handed tactics he employed. Allegedly, the most popular opposition candidate, Maurice Kamto, was disqualified from running in July because another candidate registered under the party sponsoring his candidacy. So you think things get a little messed up here. Apparently, it's not that great there. And they do. They have a very young population. And this guy will be like 100.
My goodness.
Yeah. I think they have eight. Is it 8 years, something
seven,
like that?
Seven or eight, yeah.
Wow. That's
Imagine
crazy.
That.
So,
yeah.
Cameroon. If you're from there, you're a Cameroonian?
I guess so.
Mm. Mm. If you're stuck there, are you just marooned?
Could be.
Or if you're not smart, you're a maroon.
And there's five of you together.
What is that?
Maroon 5.
Oh. Oh, is that a band?
Yes. Sorry, Bob.
Was, what's it, Levine in that one?
Mm-hmm.
Saw him... And Sammy Hagar.
Oh, there's a contrast of vocals.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Richie Sambora.
Oh, my goodness.
And they did Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
Yeah. I saw it on, you know, one of the Facebooky things.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, good morning. Welcome. This is it. Yep, it's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. And I caught you up with some of the things that are going on. ICE doing their job, and by the way, there's a rift there, and I'll share some of that information coming up, because in one camp, I think it's Tom Homan in that camp, are mm-hmm. like, we want to go after the worst of the worst, that's who we want, that's
sure.
our focus, and then there's other, the camp that says, hey, look, mass deportation is mass deportation.
Illegal's illegal.
Right.
Okay. I get it.
So apparently within that body is a little bit of an internal split. And we'll kind of follow that and see what happens. But right now, ICE has arrested an illegal alien gang member. He only had 25 prior criminal convictions. No. Convictions!
Rookie.
Not charges. In the sanctuary wow. state of California.
Oh, shocking.
Yep. DHS Tricia McLaughlin said in a statement, while Americans enjoying their weekends, men and women of ICE were hard at work getting the worst of the worst out of our country, including one criminal illegal gang member convicted 25 times for brutal crimes, including arson and harming an elderly person.
Oh, my goodness.
Theo Van Cow, illegal alien from Vietnam, who's a member of the Asian Cheap Boy criminal gang. This past week in California. And, yeah, it's a sanctuary state. They refuse to work with federal immigration officials. And so you've got people like that running around free.
That is so wrong.
Until now. Now he's chilling out. They've got him on ice. Get it? Get it?
See what you did there.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot more where that came from.
Oh, I believe it.
But stay tuned anyway.
Oh, yeah. It's only 6:16 in the morning.
I implore you to stay tuned anyway. All right. We've got some special guests coming up in the 9 o'clock hour that are going to talk about the third annual Sequins and Saddles. This is a huge event for the Republican Party of Marion County, and they got some great guests. We'll talk about that more, and they will be here at 9:05. Right now, you're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Good morning. It's going to be another great day. 6:22 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Trump, Japan. Great meeting, it appears. I'll give you more information on that, but I want to remind you that there's no reason to ever miss a minute of the show. Just search The Bob Rose Show on your favorite app, hit the follow button, and you can catch up on every episode, every hour, every highlight, whenever it works for you. Now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcast. President Trump, optimistic about the future of trade with Tokyo, signed an agreement on rare earth minerals. Take that, President Xi, who he will be seeing, what, later today, I believe? President Donald Trump and Japan Prime Minister, pretty new, Sune Takachi, put together this agreement and signed it, and it's going to be a good thing. The agreement came after Trump's meeting with Japan's first female leader, part of a wider trip to Asia, Washington and Tokyo, looking to strengthen their supply chains for rare earth elements. And you know, everybody's using them, renewable energy to electronics and cars and all of that. And this is a good thing. And she was good friends with Abe, the former prime minister who got assassinated. But Trump had a great relationship with him. So hopefully this will just, you know, smooth right on into a relationship here. Under the agreement, Japan and U.S. will streamline and expedite permitting processes for critical minerals and rare earths. It commits both countries to address foreign trade distortions and unfair market practices. So it just, you know, it sounds like a great coordination here. Apparently, China currently dominates the global rare earth market. We've talked about this before, processing more than 90% of the materials. So they control really the processing to a great extent, and I think about 70% of the raw materials. So even if you had the raw materials, chances are you might have to work with Japan to get it processed. Wow. So they've got a lock on that. We're working very hard to change that. Beijing recently ratcheted up export curbs, including new elements on its control list and tightened oversight of foreign producers that rely on China's materials. So they're getting, you know, they're kind of closing down that spigot, if you will, and that's going to make life difficult for us in the tech world especially. So we're working hard to overcome that. But at the same time, is China cutting back on fentanyl, sending fentanyl to us and the precursors to it? Well, that will be, I'm sure, part of a broader conversation he'll have with President Xi as part of this trip. House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer is demanding the Department of Justice conduct a comprehensive investigation into former President Joe Biden's auto pen use. Look, I'll be honest. I believe that there was probably a great deal of abuse of that auto pen. based on the frame of mind, you know, the lack of, you know, mental acuity that Biden possessed, especially toward the end. But what's going to happen? What are you going to do? You know, are you going to try to prosecute? Who are you going to prosecute? I mean, not that there's people that haven't done wrong. I believe they have. But to try to prove that may be a little bit more difficult. As we're frustrated by these kinds of things, right? The committee's GOP majority released a 100-page report this morning detailing findings from its months-long probe into Biden's White House. Specifically, whether his inner circle covered up signs of mental decline in the ex-president and that an alleged cover-up extended to executive actions signed via AutoPen without Biden's full awareness. Well, I mean, how far do you need to go to say we know they covered up signs of his mental decline? I mean, they couldn't ignore it, so they would just deny it. And they were always over the top. He's sharp as a tack, that one, I tell you. I mean, they were over the, it's almost like, you know, they were daring you. And the media, of course, most of the media fell right into place. Oh yeah. Oh, he's fine. Anybody with eyes and ears knew he wasn't. So yeah, absolutely. They lied. They covered up about his condition. No doubt about that. So if his condition was as bad as we think it was, then who is really running the show? And was there really kind of an official sign-off by Biden for the use of the auto pen? And if he's not in a clear state of mind and he signs off on it, I mean, it's all part of it. The cover-up is important because covering for his weaknesses, so to speak, allowed them to then utilize and possibly make some decisions that ordinarily wouldn't have been made by the chief executive. So we'll see. Faced with cognitive decline of President Joe Biden, White House aides at the direction of the inner circle hid the truth about the former president's condition and fitness for office, according to the report. It also detailed a haphazard documentation process for pardons made by Biden, which the committee argued left room for doubt over whether the former president made those decisions himself. In the absence of sufficient documentation indicating cognitive deterioration by President Biden himself, made a given executive decision, such decisions do not carry the force of law and should be considered void, according to that report.
Ooh.
So it's a damning report, but how many darn times have we gone down this path?
Yeah.
No perp walk, no penalty, no punishment. What's to prevent this from happening in the future? Not much.
No.
Yeah. I try to be upbeat and positive, but on this one, you know.
Well, there's reality, Bob.
Right.
There's reality.
Good morning. Welcome. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 6:29, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. All righty. Trash Talking Tuesday in progress. Thanks to Florence Recycling. Good morning and welcome. It's 6:40, 20 minutes till 7 o'clock. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Hey, apparently a few days ago, Mount Dora, that area, Eustis and all that, man, they were hit with a lot of rain. And I'm seeing stuff like on the Book of Faces and News Channel 8 covered some of this. The city of Mount Dora shared some photos to social media showing how roads buckled. And some were partially washed out. Yards were washed out. And, wow, this is nearly 18 inches of rain fell in Mount Dora over 24 hours.
Saw a video of one of the luxury hotels out part of the state, just water kind of sloshing around in the lobby. That's just a mess.
Yeah, I mean, because there's like a chain of lakes all around there. So you know there's like, you know, underground water systems and all that, and you get that kind of water falling at that rate.
Nowhere to go.
Yeah. And it takes stuff with it when it washes out, too. So, wow, I mean, whole roads I saw were impacted by that. And speaking of nasty weather, my goodness, Radiant Credit Union Tropical Weather Update, Hurricane Melissa, sustained winds of 175 miles an hour.
That's crazy.
This is moving north-northeast at 5 miles an hour. And Jamaica is taking a beating right now and will continue to do so with this storm moving at just 5 miles an hour. It's going to be bad for those folks. Say a prayer for everybody in the Caribbean, but especially for Jamaica, man. Because Hurricane Melissa. It's the, you know, most powerful hurricane to make a direct hit on Jamaica going back at least to 1851 and probably further.
She is not very nice, is she?
No, she's not. Yeah. She's not sweet, that's for sure. All right. Oh, locally, we got some happenings. You know there's a referendum that's going to be on the ballot coming up. Gosh, they're going to start the early voting, I think, this weekend. So this is the what we call the GRU referendum. The city of Gainesville's special election will occur next week as residents vote on whether to keep the Gainesville Regional Utility Authority or return management to what has been for the last 20 years incompetent city commission. And the referendum happens on November 4th. Early voting will take place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 9 to 6 at the Supervisor of Elections office on Main Street and the Millhopper Branch Library on Northwest 43rd Street. Now, before the early voting starts, attorneys for the GRU authority and the city of Gainesville will argue before the 8th Judicial Circuit Court. That is going to take place tomorrow. Judge George Wright gave the green light in September for the referendum to proceed. See, the issue with GRU authority was, hey, how can you let this referendum proceed when we haven't finished, you know, the court's business, in other words? So his decision came after the GRU authority filed an expedited motion to enforce the statutory suspension of a municipal ordinance. This motion, if successful, would have prevented the city from holding its referendum because of its constitutional challenges. But Judge Wright denied the motion. So tomorrow he will listen from both sides again. This time, according to Main Street Daily News, the hearing will concern an emergency motion for a temporary injunction. Under this motion, the GRU authority is again asking the court to suspend the referendum and or any enforcement of the referendum until all the legal disputes are resolved.
Makes sense.
Yes, it does. So here's the thing. It kind of boils down to this, if I can do it more in a simplistic way so that I can understand it. You know, you've got an act of the Florida legislature. So you've got the state saying you will have this GRU authority. You'll have this board because we have found that the city has run this thing into the ground. And then the locals that want the power, the city commission, they're saying, well, hey, it's local rule and, you know, states help with cities' charters, but cities can also adapt and change like charters and other things as well. So in other words, they think, yeah, they put that in there, but we can update it or tweak it or do away with it. That's the case they're trying to make.
They're so slimy.
They are. And they just don't even want to talk about the fact that so many GRU customers live outside the city limits, therefore 30 to 40% of their customers wouldn't be able to vote one way or another in the referendum.
I thought they liked democracy and inclusion.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they like hypocrisy better.
I think they just like unbridled power, and what they've done with it, we've already seen the results. They've run that utility into the ground. So vote no on that referendum. Vote no on that referendum, but we'll follow the court ruling as well. 6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And listen to the Bob Rose Show on the Odyssey iHeartRadio or TuneIn apps, or just tell your smart speaker, play 97.3 The Sky. It's not going to be a bad day. It's not going to be a bad to the bone day.
No.
It's going to be an awesome day. We're here to pump you up. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here at 6:51. 9 minutes till 7 o'clock. A little bit of friction going on inside of ICE and Homeland Security. A little friction. Okay? Hmm. A mass shakeup of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement leadership is underway amid growing friction inside the Department of Homeland Security over deportation tactics and priorities. This is according to four senior DHS officials. The overhaul affects ICE field offices in at least eight cities and will replace many senior leaders with Border Patrol officials, marking an unprecedented power shift inside DHS and exposing sharp divisions over how far to go in ramping up deportations. And they say the changes are being driven by competing camps inside DHS. On one side is Border Czar Tom Homan and ICE Director Todd Lyons, who have advocated focusing on criminal aliens and those with final deportation orders. In other words, these would be the people that have already been adjudicated. Yep. They shouldn't be here at all.
Send them home or somewhere.
Yes. On the other side is DHS Secretary Kristi Noem and her buddy, Senior Advisor Corey Lewandowski.
Oh, I think they're pretty tight.
Yeah. And Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino, who have pushed for a broader and more aggressive approach targeting anyone in the U.S. illegally to boost deportation numbers. So they're looking more at numbers and and some of the numbers that they laid out, like as benchmarks or, you know, what they wanted to try to reach, they've fallen short in a lot of these cities.
Well, I can see it both sides. One, obviously, you want these people who've committed 25 felonies, you want them gone. On the other hand, we had to endure the Biden administration letting, who knows, 18, 20 million people into our country that weren't supposed to necessarily be here because they didn't do it legally. You want to fix that problem because that's a burden on our country.
And you don't know if they've come here, you know, there might be a lack of documentation as to criminal activity, too.
We've seen that.
So, yeah, my thought is you have to prioritize simply because you have limited resources. You have limited agents. You have a limited capacity in which you can, you know, process these people. And obviously those with deportation orders, to me, would be the easiest. Get on the plane, Jane.
Yep.
You know, sit in the back, Jack, and go from there.
Yeah.
Now, if you do an operation and you catch up, you know, other illegals in that group, I don't know that I would necessarily say, oh, well, you know, you can go because you're only here illegally. We haven't seen you do anything else bad. I mean, once they have, you know, somebody, once they have you rounded up and you don't have, you know, the... you're not supposed to be here, then, you know, I'd say, well, you got to process them.
Agreed.
Yep. And deal with them as well. But, it's not easy, but apparently it's creating a little bit of rift there. Two senior officials described the mood inside DHS as tense and combative, with some ICE leaders warning that the new approach could erode public support and blur the line between ICE and Border Patrol operations. Basically, a lot of people are like, you know, the ones that have been here for years, the ones that say are trying, you know, they're at Home Depot looking for daily work, whatever, that, hey, these aren't the people that are committing crimes. They're not selling drugs. They're not in gangs. You know, leave them be, or at least leave them be for now. You know, we get to a point. But so that's kind of a lot of the mindset of a lot of people. You know, they're like, hey, look, get rid of the worst first, and then we'll figure out a way to deal with everybody else. And that I think the public is much more supportive of that idea.
Yes, I think so too.
Well, and it doesn't matter. You know, anybody can disagree. You know, you can call and go, well, no, they're here illegally. You got to get rid of all of them. Well, yeah, you also have to live in the real world. And like I said before, there are limited resources. So to me, you have to prioritize. Don't you want the most dangerous people out first? Because they're the most likely to harm somebody, somebody's family.
Yep.
kill somebody, rape, sell them deadly drugs that kills them. So, you know, that's my take on it. I just, if they're looking at a numbers game, like, we've got to make it look good. Like, we got rid of, you know, 1.2 million people or whatever. I don't know that I'd be hung up on that. As long as you are working diligently, you're going to these cities, you're busting up gangs, crews, and really looking for the worst of the worst. As long as you're, hard at work doing that, yeah. I think the American people are going to be mostly supportive.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we shall see. 6:56 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to our friends at the Florence Recycling. I was just looking ahead. Shutdown day 28. Can you believe it? And we'll have another Melissa update for you coming up. News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.